gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Monday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, what a show! We have to get to the Rude Pundit, our Monday guest.
Yes.
Eric, that's the, you turn your microphone on like
yeah,
that.
Thank
good.
You. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Eric Bollert from Media Matters to co-host Right Wing World. But you know what? To everybody spread out, for God's sakes, we have a brand shiny new anchor on the phone.
Yeah, yes, we do.
Candy Crowley, who is the best reporter in the world. And clearly someone must have listened to me because she's the new host of State of the Union on Sundays.
Well, good morning, and tomorrow hell will freeze over, I believe.
Because, by tomorrow you'll be too
surprised.
You'll be too big to talk to me by tomorrow. Thank God we had this booking before anyone knew. And
exactly. I mean, I just wanted to say it's been really nice knowing you.
I think fortunately you've always considered me one of the little people. So, but good for you. I say, may I give you a rock on, sister? You'll be the only female Sunday show anchor, one of the few ever. John King moving to primetime, right? 7 p.m.
Right.
Correct. And
thank you. Yes.
So,
and we'll move to 9 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday for the Sunday show. And I have to tell you, I didn't really think of it as sort of a woman thing. I first thought, oh, journalism, this is great, what a great opportunity,
right.
But I got so many emails and tweets and this is and that from women going, oh, you know, rock on, we're so excited, you'll be the only female, and one woman wrote and said, we really have needed a female voice, and I'm so excited there's going to be a female doing a Sunday morning show, and we need more leopard prints on Sunday morning.
Okay. Yeah, you're like going, gee, I didn't think it was the estrogen, I thought it was all these shiny journalism awards I have on my bookcase that might have had something to do with this, but whatever.
Well, no, fun.
Yeah, we are thrilled. And what a time. I have to say, that was pretty, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, that was pretty unprecedented, the GOP Obama meeting on Friday, wasn't it?
Great. Yes, it was. It was all, to me, it was a little bit like reality TV in that it wasn't really reality because the cameras were rolling, and once you roll the cameras, it changes reality.
Yes.
But it was closer to it than we've gotten in most cases.
Oh, yeah, it was like Survivor. It was a reality show, and I think they thought he was going to be Piggy in Lord of the Flies, and then... And now I'm hearing, I don't know what you are, but the Republicans are like, oh, we shouldn't have done that. We shouldn't have let the cameras in.
But honestly, they had been battering him over transparency and the health care toxin. He said he was going to be transparent, put it on C-SPAN. Why didn't he do that? And now to say, no, I'm sorry, we're not going to open this up.
Yeah, no, they invited Clark Kent, and they got Superman, unfortunately.
Well, and also, that is a no-win situation. Whenever you have one guy with a big old steel of the President of the United States on the podium, and then more than 100 guys kind of firing at him, he always comes out better. And let's face it, talking and explaining things and all of that is a strong suit of
right, the bully,
and he's going to come out on top on that.
That's right. I mean, it's the bully pulpit. It's like, where should I put my big old podium with a presidential seal? How about here?
Exactly.
Who's got a question?
Hail to the chief one more time, and then we'll start talking.
Yes.
You know, and as I can know, I don't remember who was it that said on TV, but it really was almost like the first question out of the gate was like this Republican talking point, like medicine ball to the gut, and it's almost like Obama went, all right, it's going to be like that. All right.
Yes. Although I suspect he came loaded for bear. Mm-hmm. They asked for this to be open precisely for the reason that the Republicans knew it probably wasn't going to be a good idea. It is a strong suit. And when you listen to all of the things that we heard rolling into the State of the Union address about, well, the president's going to have to moderate and he's going to have to apologize for mistakes and he's going to have to make sure that he's more centrist in his views. And really what we got in the State of the Union was a guy that still basically with the agenda that he brought in last year, who still, okay, it was, 25 minutes in and he gave it 5 minutes, but who still wants his health care plan. He didn't actually changed that much about his agenda. So I didn't suspect he was going to go there and say, come on, you guys, let's do it. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, the president, in the end, has to be tough. And let's not forget, it's not just that he's trying to appeal to centrists. He's also got a base that is left of center that he has to keep with him. And so he has a, to me, while the rhetoric may be a little bit different, certainly his viewpoint and how he sees legislation moving forward is still pretty much intact. And I think that's the guy you saw at that Republican retreat.
Well,
going,
Candy,
hey, you guys, you know, you want to work with me?
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to stop calling me a fascist.
Candy, far be it from me to take issue with the new host of State of the Union. However,
yes, ma'am. Feel free.
When you say a base left of center, you know, my point is when you look at the polls even a year ago, 70% of the American people for health care reform with a strong public option, a plan far left, quote unquote, of where we are now, correct? I mean, to me, it was part of trying to reclaim this issue from the Republicans that have given them a solid year of obstructionism and lies on health care, for instance.
Well, listen, what we find in the polling is A, it changes, but B, it depends on how you describe to people a public option. People definitely want health care reform. It's when you get down to the specifics, they go, well, no, that doesn't sound good. That you begin to see, so where is the country on this? You're right, there were poll after poll showing people favored a public option, but when you said it would only be available to, a very small portion of the public, it would, you know, require X amount of trillions of dollars to fund, that it began to fall off.
Well,
so listen, and it also let's face it, it really depends on where you think the center is.
Well, exactly.
So,
but what I'm saying is,
right,
it seems to me that he's not been left enough. Do you know what I mean? To me, in my opinion, and he kind of said that to Democrats, like, you have the biggest majority we've had in how many years? Get it done. This is what the American people put us in for.
Absolutely, and you're right, and I think you're seeing it far better than I did, so if you'd like my job, okay.
Oh, please, why?
That in fact, the left doesn't think he's done enough, and the centrists think he's done too much, or
right.
The right thinks he's done too much, however you want to define that. So I think that's the line he's walking.
But that's,
and he had plenty in the State of the Union, you know, for both parties to chew on, let's face it.
But I think it's good that that's what he took it to them on Friday about,
sure.
You know, you make it sound like this is some Bolshevik plot. This health care, I mean,
right.
He really sort of, I think, laid it out there with the Republicans on Friday, didn't he?
He did, and he came out on top of that one. I thought it was a great, I mean, for a guy who's had one lousy month,
right.
This was his best moment. It really was.
Right. Well, no, I thought the State of the Union was great, but then this was just like a home run, I thought. I mean,
because you had a foil.
Right.
You know, and it was good.
Right, exactly. Now, the latest thing they're going to call a flip-flop is the terror trials moving out of New York City. And
right.
I don't know about you, but first of all, it's all about me. I've just moved to New York recently, so now I'm all about the parking, and my principles are completely gone. So I'm with Bloomberg. I'm like, what? It's going to inconvenience me.
Well,
see,
for
I don't
4 years.
Right. See, I don't think, Kenny, and maybe it's a different take on it, but I have said I do think they should be tried criminally. I'm with, you know, the way Rudy Giuliani used to be about terror trials. I absolutely think they should be tried as criminals, not made holy warriors. So I agree with that. But I do also understand the logistical problems of Manhattan, is all I'm saying. What's your take on it?
Sure. I mean, my take is that the Obama administration has heard this, and if I had to guess, because you're now seeing Democrats going, oh, I'm not so crazy about this civil trial, whether it's in Manhattan or Albany or points in between, because they have to do it someplace relevant, apparently. If it's going to be within the American judicial system, it has to be someplace where the crime took place. So you
right.
can't just go to Utah, apparently, and do this in a mountain someplace. So my guess would be that the president will eventually say, let's put this in a military tribunal.
Really?
And he's being, yeah, and he's being pushed not just by, because he's, you know, some of the terrorists are going to be put on trial, will be put before a military tribunal. So he's already there with some of the suspects. I just think it's going to be way too much of a distraction. And let's face it, the Republicans have always been able to bring up the national security issue as a political issue, and they have already begun sort of stepped up that, well, first he wants
right.
to try him like a common criminal, and he's not.
But Candy,
and
now
so
see,
he was too slow with this guy on the plane on Christmas Day. So you're already seeing that. So I think the Obama administration may look at this and say, cut our losses, put it in a military tribunal, move on. We don't want to discuss it.
Right, but Candy, couldn't, I guess my question is, couldn't you still do a criminal trial but make it at a military base for security and logistical
yes.
reasons? To me, it would be a flip-flop yes. to say, okay, we're going to do military tribunals.
Someone has even suggested yeah. to have, doing it at West Point.
Yes, I had heard that too. And
right.
I mean, I just don't know the, like, then where do you keep the guy and where do you, I'm not sure what, I mean, we're talking, I mean, I heard somebody today, some legal expert say, well, this could take 3 or 4 years. I'm thinking, well, I thought we were showing the, you know, the world about our swift, fair justice. Somehow 3 years doesn't sound like that.
Right.
But,
well, here's what...
Where do you put him? And I don't know what the actual logistics
right.
are, but certainly it must be a far cheaper and way less disruptive to have it on a military, mm-hmm. in a military facility somewhere.
Here's what I would do, because I do have no principles and I would just need the publicity. He can stay with me, because I have I do have an extra bedroom, and I would... Just for the, you would put that on State of the Union,
oh.
wouldn't you? You would, every time
oh,
yeah. you mentioned the trial, you would go, oh, and he's staying at Stephanie Miller's apartment.
I'm sure, you know, and you know what I bet? I bet within a week we'd have a guilty plea on that.
That's right.
Like, get me away from this crazy biatch. All right, Candy Crowley, the brand shiny new host of State of the Union on Sundays. You know, I sneak in there on reliable sources every now and again.
Yes.
Give me a little shout out.
I absolutely will.
All right.
Happy New Year, you guys.
You too.
You
Candy Crowley, the best journalist in the world. Thank you, Candy.
Thanks.
All right. There she goes. Candy Crowley, that's the new host of the, come on, of the State of the, how's about that?
I love her.
Awesome. Good for her. I know. She's like, why, I didn't even realize I was a woman until I started getting all these letters. I thought I was a journalist. All right. So, kids, guess what?
What?
Mamas, you know, I've gained a couple of lbs since I moved to New York. It's been a little...
I'll say.
Listen, Skype ads, like, I think 25, 30... 5 pounds is
yeah.
what I'm told.
Okay, keep using that as an excuse.
You know how you get off your schedule, whether you're traveling or you're just not used to your whole, you know, or you're pathetic like I am.
And you just eat your feelings?
Yes,
okay.
I've been stuffing my feelings in New York. Anyway, I have a brand new program, IPX. It's actually, I'm sorry, P90X. Have you heard of this?
Tell me about it.
Well, I've always worked out. You know, I spin, I do. Oh, well, I'll tell you the story later. Wait till I tell you how much spinning costs in New York City.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know, to get on a fake bike.
Oh, boy.
So, listen, this is, you know, I've always worked out. I hike with the dogs, like blah, blah, blah. But PX90, a friend told me about it. It's a workout of my life, and you get incredible results. Guess what? The guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money,
yes.
he's going to do it with me. I'm doing it so I can be in shape enough to run away from him, and he's doing it so he can get in shape to catch me.
I don't know if that's a good idea, Steph.
P90X is a home workout. It includes strength training, cardio, yoga, you name it. You are always working your body from different angles because you get in a rut, too, with a certain
right.
workout. This, it's just, it keeps changing it up, so the results are unbelievable. P90X comes with a complete risk-free guarantee of results and satisfaction. Get off your duff. Make the call today. Call 800-509-9438. 800-509-9FIT. Easy to remember. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or go to my website, stephaniemiller.com, right now. stephaniemiller.com or call 800-509-FIT. All right. And then I will explain to you after the break why that's such a good idea because of how much spinning costs in New York City.
Oh, my God.
All right. 20 minutes where it is 1,000 below zero. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Radio.
24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. You know, Carbonite Online Backup is a must for my computer. It should be for yours, too. Don't wait. Back up your computer today for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. Visit Carbonite.com. Be sure to use the offer code Stephanie.
And this hour is brought to you by Carbonite as well.
The entire hour is.
Holy crap.
That's why it's tattooed here across my navel. All right, wow. So I had a weekend. Bex, I had a date with John Fugelsang and his wife.
Oh yeah, at TGIF's.
Yes. Did you know potato skins make you crazy? That's how it all happened with Governor McGreevy and company.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. And there's something about TGIF's that makes you want to have a three-way.
Wasn't it at like a New Jersey rest stop or something?
No, that was, I think, a different time.
Oh, that was a different governor.
No, not a different governor.
Oh,
different date.
Gotcha. Never mind.
Different type of date.
Oh, God.
They're all melding together now.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, no, it was really a good time was had by all, as they say.
What, did you swap any spit or anything?
Yeah. No.
Who was the best out of you three?
You know, we'll have to wait till Fridays with Fugelsang to get a review.
Who was the loudest?
I don't know. We were all huddled inside because it's a billion degrees below zero. I go spinning.
Yes.
Because that's what I did here, in L.A. So, here's the thing I did not know. It's very expensive in Manhattan. Why wasn't I told this?
Well,
before I left. Why didn't... Rebecca, no memo from you.
You didn't know. You lived there.
You lived there before. So you didn't...
Not for like 1,000 years. Okay, so for, it's a exercise bike class inside for 45 minutes is what spinning is.
You have a bicycle and you live near Central Park. So why
it's 1,000 degrees below zero.
Wear a mask or something.
I've done that, but this is too, this is brain-related event cold. This is not normal cold. So, anyway, guess how much it is?
How much?
For a spinning class, the one place near me.
75.
Oh, and here's the other fun fact. It's two of the same teachers I had at my B-Celebrity gym here in Hollywood. Remember?
Yeah.
You go to the same gym.
I don't go to spinning class there, but...
But
right.
You belong to the same B-Celebrity gym.
Yes, I do.
Yes. So it's the same teachers here in New York that... But it's at this place.
What
of course,
is it on
in...
Skype? What?
No, but anyway, so guess how much? $32 a class.
That's not much.
How much is our B-Celebrity gym for a whole year?
For a whole year?
Yes.
Of classes?
Yes.
No,
a whole year of membership.
I don't know. I pay $39 a month.
Whatever that is. Let's see my point. You get spinning included for that, for the whole month. All right. I'm just saying. So, but then you add that up, and then you can buy, like, a series of things, but you don't get any reduction in cost.
Oh, God, no. It's Manhattan.
Like, there was, like, an unlimited thing, and I'm like, how much is that? They're like, $3,000. I was like, I was like, is that a discount? They're like, no, actually, it's more, but you get free water.
Which is already
I'm like,
free.
What? What? For spinning? It's, Anyway, it's same teachers I got for $39 and whatever it is.
But is Fabio there, like at this one?
No, I don't even get any of the good B celebrities that I got in Hollywood.
None?
I know Fabio. No, what's his name? The human animal hybrid.
Oh, Ron Perlman.
Yes.
Yeah, he's there every day again.
Yes.
Yes.
Also, Mr. Brady.
We now have
Mr. Brady used to work out there.
We now have
very cold.
We now have two of the kids from Glee. So, yeah, it's turning into an A-celebrity gym.
For $39 a month. And meanwhile, I'm paying $1 billion in New York for one class. Except then they make it Fade-like candles. Like suddenly, like, oh, well, that's worth it now. Oh, now it's very fancy. Thank you. Oh, all right. That was my bitch session.
Yeah.
Hey, but you know what? This is a precedent. This opening story did not have anything to do with poo.
That is true.
Are we going to talk about poo now?
Well, it is really hard to pick up when it's really cold. It's like you need some sort of construction equipment. It's not really like the scooper doesn't work anymore. It's a glacier time. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. That's a segue into the Rude Pundit next.
Yes.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Everybody does. Woo!
Four minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Kevin in D.C. cannot wait to talk about the SmackDown on Friday. Obama versus the Republicans. Good morning, baby.
Good morning, lovely Stephanie. Mm-hmm. Boy, I tell you, all of our, as you know, all of our Washington teams pretty suck, much suck this year, except for the hockey team, and I'm a brother, so I don't watch that.
Yeah.
So it was great sport to see Obama one on 140-something, just brutally, savagely, viciously, and decisively beat them down.
Yeah, I know. It was a thing of beauty, wasn't it?
And not only that, but when you beat someone down so bad that they whimper, you know, we shouldn't have televised that. And Fox Noise actually pulls out earlier.
Yeah, did you see that? They knew they were watching an ass whooping of historic proportions. Like, they're gonna be somebody screaming in the control room. Get out of this! Get out of this! We're getting our asses kicked.
And did you see Roger Ailes on ABC's This Week yesterday?
Now someone go ahead. I'm sorry.
He said that they pulled out early because, quote, they're the most trusted name in news.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What bizarre world are they the most trusted? So someone hip me better said that I should go to the whatchamacallit. Oh, I'm sorry. Ariana's, what is it?
Huffington Post.
Sorry, yes. That they had it there.
I have a blog, darling. It's Huffington Post.
Exactly. But he disgusts me so much, I hadn't steeled myself to hear his annoying voice. But apparently she got on him pretty good. It's good. I mean, now I wish they would do – I hope that the Senate and House Democrats look at that and say, you know, it is fun to have a spine. You know, we don't have to cave to these fools.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Kev. All right. Where is my jingle?
It's Lee Pobbitt, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Oh, Lee, did you see how I just used that man until I could yell your name out?
I did.
I was thinking of you the whole time, just stalling.
Oh, thank God. You know what? I when I see Candy Crowley, I think of you. So.
Oh.
Thank you. How about that SmackDown? Because I know that, you know, you were feeling a little dejected, the plight of the liberal under Obama. This is before the State of the Union. But, I mean, I just think it was a 1-2 punch, the State of the Union, and then that SmackDown Friday.
Oh, I masturbated so much I chafed myself.
Me too. Me too. It's on an endless loop. All weekend, that's what I did.
Oh, it really is. And you know, you sort of do it desperately because it's sort of like, you know, your hard drive is going to break and all your porn is going to disappear. It might be your last shot.
Yeah. Did you freeze it at the part where, look where he made Eric Cantor's Adam's apple throb in indignation? Freeze it there.
And Mike Pence looking like he was going to throw up.
Yes.
I've made a horrible mistake.
Something has gone horribly awry here.
Yeah.
Yeah. They thought they were kicking sand in the scrawny kid's face, and then it turned into, you know.
Oh, it's nice. You know, it was great to watch them get a close-up look at their own asses as Obama handed them to them.
Yes.
I know. But, you know, you're right. I mean, you talk about what we all do. Like, we work so hard to get him elected, and then you're like, that's the guy! That's the guy!
Oh, yeah. And you know, what I loved about it was that one of the things that I haven't heard is that by going there, he actually was respecting them. He was actually treating them like grown-ups.
Right.
He was talking to them, and he gave them a chance. He went to their place and said, and it was essentially like, okay, take me down. Give it your best shot. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Well, because you had written that the State of the Union is what the F do you want from me, essentially. But, you know, and I love the way you describe it. The elusive hope of bipartisanship is gone, yet Obama keeps trying. If he could will it into being like a crazed TV doctor jolting a dead patient with a defibrillator again and again until being dragged off and told he's dead. You're like,
It's flatlining. All we're hearing every time that he puts those paddles on, it doesn't cause anything other than an ooh.
Right. You write that God, we think that's one caring mother. Too bad he can't save that bipartisan dude.
because you know, they've even come out already. Mitch McConnell has come out and said, yeah, we're not going to work with him, and so has Boehner. Boehner said the same thing.
Yep.
That was great. You know what? We're not going to do anything.
And you notice the same thing I did at the State of the Union. You write, it's becoming almost insane to keep trying. I mean, revive the bipartisanship. You look at the smug faces of those GOP suckers watching the speech, laughing at stupid they say to each other, muttering bull. so the cameras can see they're displeased, taking the olive branch, setting it on fire, and shoving it up Obama's.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, I like to think that you reading this is almost like a video game. You've got your finger on a button. And
it tests hand-eye coordination.
But, you know, he really took it to them, as you say, on the stimulus, too, particularly in this GOP meeting Friday, where you said that's what scares the... Out of Republicans is the one major legislation they allowed to pass has worked.
Yep.
And they know it.
Yep. And he did the same thing with them at the meeting. He's laid it out there. He said, look, I don't understand. I gave you, $300 billion in tax cuts as a way of compromising this and cut the amount of it, and you still all voted against it. Mm-hmm. So you're not even bargaining in good faith.
And don't you love how he took it to them on the, and you went to the ribbon cuttings.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Credit for it.
I know. And every time that one of the things I also love was that every time he was asked a question and it started, somebody went into Republican talking points, he just got this grin on his face like, yeah, I got that one.
That's how it's going to be.
Yep.
Yeah. And, but you say, you had said before all this happened, at some point he has to act without regard to pleasing all political parties. And, I think that's true. And maybe he even got it after the State of the Union, right? And, and I felt like he made them look as small and petty as they are.
Yeah. But we have to be careful. Every time we create this fantasy Obama, this fantasy image of what he's going to do, okay, this time he's going in Buford Pusser style with a giant stick and going to take him down, that all of a sudden he pivots and becomes this other Obama that we never expected. And I've just given up at this point trying to figure it out.
Well, because I'm of the fantasy Obama crowd, maybe. But when I was listening to the State of the Union, Rude, I really thought, gee, that was code for get it done. When he reminded Democrats, you still have the biggest majority. Get it done. The American people sent you here to do something. So, I thought it was code for get it done, however you have to get it done.
So my fantasy Obama then is, if we're going to sit here and fantasize
each
other,
yes.
My fantasy Obama used the State of the Union as a slow beginning to pivot away from bipartisanship.
That was foreplay, and then he... GOP meeting. Yeah.
And then he's still teasing at the GOP meeting, saying, okay, well, I'm gonna fondle your bipartisanship a little more, and then he's just going to walk away if they're not willing to play. If they're not willing to give a reach around, nope, sorry.
Yeah, one of my personal favorites that you've written lately is your five fantasy State of the Union speeches. Number one, Obama walks to the podium with Joe Lieberman's ragged neck, bloody disembodied head, and announces that the Connecticut senator has been kicked out of the Democratic caucus. The president then says, the State of the Union is who's next.
Yeah, it would have been beautiful. Tossing the head to Mitch McConnell. It was just a beautiful thing. It's yours now.
I didn't read that part because there's kids listening. Number two, Obama introduces Bill Ayers and Reverend Wright as guests seated behind Michelle Obama and fist bumps them both. The president said, scared now, f***ers?
Did you notice that he didn't introduce anybody at the State of the Union?
Yes.
I loved it. It was like, finally we gave up that Reagan era thing that every president has done since of, and now here's somebody who represents the most horrible extreme of my policies that you can help.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Your number three, five fantasy State of the Union speeches. This is my favorite. He has a sergeant at arms dragging a chain gang of men in striped prison garb. They are George Bush, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Alberto Gonzalez, and more. Obama asked children in the gallery to come down and pelt them with rotten fruit. And then the president says, now this is how you blame the current crisis on the previous administration.
Because you know what? No matter what he says, no matter how little he does it, even if he just vaguely says, oh, yeah, for 8 years we've ignored a problem, all the Republicans are going to jump up and say, oh, he's just blaming all his problems on the past. So you know what? You may as well take care of it.
As well really do it. Well, that leads me to – I love the one on the Iraq war inquiry in Britain, including photos that make Rude Pundit want to shove a crumpet up someone's ass.
Yeah.
Tony Blair. Well, because you're right, not much may come at the end of the day from the inquiry, blah, 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 into the Iraq war. It may offer nothing more than a ripped condom to sheath the diseased. No, we need a bleep there. Politic that... the conscience back into the British people while infecting them. But unlike over here in the good old USA, where we never look back because we don't want to see the wreckage we've left behind, at the very least for a day, former Prime Minister Tony Blair was forced to publicly show up and explain what the he did.
Yeah.
Well said.
And he, and if nothing else, he had to go there. And that, and so many people I've heard from have said, isn't that just extraordinary that the former leader of Britain had to actually sit there in public and answer questions, even if he was defiant, even if he sat there and went, yeah, I know everything that I believed was just an illusion and a delusion, but I'm going to stick by it. So
yeah,
at least we know he's a rat going down with the ship and not one escaping.
I actually like your explanation. Explanation of it. Blair didn't back down, didn't offer any mea culpas, and clung so tightly to George W. Bush's sack that he must never be able to get the smell of sweaty Texas off his skin.
Ow. It's breakfast time.
It's true.
Yeah, well, he did. He talked about private meetings they had and said, no, we this was what we believed. This is what everybody believed at the time, and that there were no secret negotiations to try to start war early on. That we, but I loved what that thing that he said, that disarming Iraq and regime change are really the same thing, which means that.
Yeah.
Unless Saddam Hussein was going to say, all right, you know what, I'm done. He was going to do a Sarah Palin. I'm done with my my time here. There's really no more good I can do. I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm outie. The last fantasy State of the Union speech, I also love you. And he should have announced that he's sending Tea Partiers to assist in the rebuilding of Haiti as part of his jobs program. The president says it will also be an education program, what it's like to live without government.
Yeah.
They want anarchy, they can have it.
Exactly.
Did you see Rush Limbaugh dancing, by the way?
Oh
at the Miss America pageant.
Oh, dear God, no.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God. Was there another earthquake? Oh, come on now.
It was to Poker Face.
Yes.
It was Rush Limbaugh dancing, standing up to Poker Face.
May I reiterate, it's breakfast time.
Yeah,
all right.
I know. It looked like he was batting away imaginary bats.
Yeah, he was kind of a spaz.
RudePundit.blogspot.com is the website. Lee Papa is the man. Thank you, Rude.
Thank you.
See you next Monday.
Bye.
Bye. All right. He was particularly rude this week.
Yeah.
I can't believe he brought up the parts I didn't read because they were far too dirty to even bleep out. Mm-hmm. They were dirty. 46 minutes after the hour. All right. Back with more crunchy audio goodness from the Obama GOP smackdown on Friday on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I get it because it was SmackDown, so you went to the Jock Jams. Ha ha! For the Obama GOP SmackDown.
Sure.
Don't play Michael Buffer. We'll have to pay for it.
I know. Tell me about it.
He's very litigious. 51 minute. Don't say let's get ready to. Oh, don't say it.
Nope.
51 minutes after the hour. 1-800.
Let's get ready for some horseplay. No?
51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Terry in Texas on the SmackDown on Friday. Hey, Terry.
Hi.
Hello.
Friday was great.
Wasn't it?
It was really. It made me feel good to have voted for President Obama.
It was. Ruth Punnett was right. It was liberal porn, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I have 2 points I want to make. Mm-hmm. One of them is the Republicans can now scratch transparency off of their talking points.
Yeah, there you go.
They won't be talking about that.
They're not going to be asking for any more of that.
No, and the other thing is I thought it was kind of ironic. One of their talking points is that he can't talk without a teleprompter. But
yes,
he came there,
that was the thing. That was the thing that kept coming to my mind, is
that
stupid.
All of his questions was off of a piece of paper.
Right.
That stupid schoolyard, Emmy, Mr. Teleprompter, he can't. It's like, oh, really, mother?
Yeah, and all of their questions, I saw them reading them off of a piece of paper, and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, they're the ones that are like, uh-oh, there's no teleprompter in the world that can get us out of this, this mess. Yeah. Well, you know what the one thing they say, Terry, is the camera doesn't lie. I mean, you know, you even
right.
even when you just saw them sitting there, right, Boehner and Cantor and what's his name, Pence, they just look like these snitty little kids, you know?
I just told all of my friends that haven't seen it, I said, you have got to see this, because the Republicans cannot bury this fast enough. I mean, they don't want independents to see this.
Yeah,
it'll ruin them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing, is I think that he called them out. I mean, that was the one thing that kept coming to my mind too, Terry, is they're thinking, oh, this guy can't do anything without a teleprompter. We're going to kick his ass.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Terry. Thank you.
Yeah, they were caught up by their own. They were caught up by their own story about Obama.
Yes, they were hoisted on their own petard.
In a word, or three.
Mm-hmm. All right, the president.
I am not an ideologue. I'm not. What? It doesn't make sense if somebody could tell me you could do this cheaper and get increased results, that I wouldn't say great. The problem is I couldn't find credible economists who would back up the claims that you just made.
Snap.
Yeah.
The reviews are in, and a lively Q&A with House Republicans at their annual retreat in Baltimore. Obama showcased the campaign skills that won him the Oval Office. Yeah, you know, that's not so easy to sneak into, Chris, the Oval Office.
Right.
He was cerebral, combative, cool, and quick, and he was also able to forcefully express his strongest political and policy argument. The Republicans have little authentic interest in compromise. I love the part where he said, I don't believe the American people want us to focus on our job security. I don't think they want more gridlock. I don't think they want more partisanship. They didn't send us to Washington to fight each other in some sort of steel cage match to see who comes out alive. You know, but
that's right.
But it's almost like he's going on, but if you want to have a steel cage match, here's your ass. One Senate aide said he kicked their asses. He went in there and made them look like petty little politicians,
yeah.
Which is true. You know, it's not just that he had, like Candy Crowley was saying, that he has the bully pulpit. It's the way he used it.
Mm-hmm.
It is that point about the camera doesn't lie. They looked petulant and bitter and just, you know, and he looked presidential. The president.
The easiest thing for me to do on the health care debate would have been to tell people that what you're going to get is guaranteed health insurance, lower your costs, all the insurance reforms. We're going to lower the cost of Medicare and Medicaid, and it won't cost anybody anything. That's great politics. It's just not true. So there's got to be some test of realism in any of these proposals, mine included. I've got to hold myself accountable, and I guarantee the American people will hold themselves will hold me accountable if what I'm selling doesn't actually deliver.
Yes.
Yes. I just thought it was such a 1-2 punch because, you know, they say the same thing they always do after the State of the Union, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 80% or whatever of the American people had a positive reaction to the State of the Union. But they use their usual petty, like, oh, well, look, I think you give a pretty speech. And so it's almost like this was a 1-2 punch they weren't expecting.
Right.
He followed up, no script, no teleprompter, and took questions from his toughest critics.
Absolutely.
I mean, can you imagine George Bush? Oh, he would have been just a battered pinata.
He would have totally withered.
Yeah, on health care, Obama basically said, you've given yourselves very little room to work in a bipartisan fashion because of what you've been telling your constituents is this guy's doing all kinds of crazy stuff that's going to destroy America. He described the health care plan as a plan that's pretty centrist. Thank you.
Yes.
Way too centrist for many of our taste, and pointed out it had already incorporated modified versions of Republican proposals. So I thought he showed a spotlight on that lie.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why many of us feel like it's so watered down. It's because he used a lot of Republican ideas in it.
Absolutely.
They've been, you know, peddling this lie now for a year that he didn't listen to one thing of their blah, blah, blah. He said most independent observers would say it is similar to what many Republicans proposed to Bill Clinton, which mm-hmm. is true. President.
They didn't send us to Washington to fight each other in some sort of political steel cage match to see who comes out alive.
Yeah. Although, if the Republicans want to bring a steel cage, Obama will fight in it.
I'm guessing that they won't. He won't be getting any more invitations to the steel cage. That's hilarious. I love the headline. Republicans dismayed by Obama's strong performance say it was a mistake to let cameras roll. Republican House conference said they were itching to quiz the president and present their policy ideas rather to listen than listen to another lofty presidential address. Although such sessions generally occur behind closed doors, Republicans agreed to open it up after the White House said it was willing to do so. Oh, they got punked. However, after Obama's strong performance, some Republicans now regretting the decision. I will tell you what some of them said behind closed doors after this tragedy for them on Friday. And Eric Bollard from Media Matters next to co-host Right Wing World as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim Ward, do you think the words Mayday were actually spoken in the Fox News control room during the
yes.
SmackDown?
Mayday, Mayday.
Air raid siren. Mayday, Mayday.
Bail out.
If only George Bush Sr. had pulled out early.
Jim problems. Louise Ward.
Flavin.
It's a joke from 10 years ago.
It was the control room in broadcast news. It was yelling and screaming and running.
Oh, God, what do we do? Oh, no!
It was crying. StephanieMiller.com, the website.
Albert Brooks got sweaty.
Yeah.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America joins us to co-host a rollicking post-SmackDown right-wing world. Good morning, Eric.
Morning.
That was quite a shock that Fox cut away early from...
I think you just about described the pandemonium. it's example 1000. You know, Fox is not a news organization. It's a political entity. So they didn't cut away for any news reasons. They cut away because the home team was getting killed.
My kingdom for the audio from the engineer's booth, you know, as they were making that decision and what was being said.
You imagine if they ran a sports network, you know, and whatever the home team, you know, trailed, they just cut the feed. And
the end of this isn't important. Yeah, they cut
the post-game analysis while the game was still being played.
Eric, they cut 20 minutes, with 20 minutes to go, and they to begin their commentary, of course, the anchor, what's his name, Trace Gallagher, his immediate reaction is Obama was being too combative and lecturing.
Uppity, like in other words.
Yeah. At the State of the Union, then Britt Baer agreed, you know.
So they had to hurry up and
spin it before it was unspinnable, right?
Right. And then the two other things. And then they gave the entire response, you know, the Boehner-Pence Q&A afterwards. They were the only cable channel to cover that in its entirety.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then on the primetime shows, Hannity and O'Reilly, basically it didn't exist.
Yeah, they didn't cover it at all.
You
wow.
did not see that today,
nope.
people.
This did not happen.
It did not happen.
They wished it into the cornfield. Because you read a great piece this week about, Fox's aggressive cheerleading, not to mention on-air fundraising for Massachusetts Republican Scott Brown, in terms of its transformation into totally a political entity and whether the Federal Election Commission really ought to look into that.
Well, the tradition has always been, the FEC has always given an incredibly wide berth to news media to cover elections and not... And the expenses not be an expenditure. People have challenged that in the past, saying, and then the FCC always comes back and says, nope, you know, we're not getting into the game of who's biased and not. And then, in fact, they've ruled, even if you are biased, you still qualify. You can endorse a candidate and things like that. But what I think what Fox News is doing, and what the FCC was doing, like if you endorse a candidate, it's okay if the New York Times endorses somebody. one day out of the year, that's fine. But what Fox News is doing, I mean, they're endorsing candidates like every day of the year.
Right. And I know, and the thing is, Eric, I know immediately a Fox person would go, oh, MSNBC does the same thing. But they don't. I mean, MSNBC goes after the president, goes
right.
after some Democrats they don't like.
Right. And they didn't have, you know, they didn't have Martha Coakley on, you know, every other night. They didn't have her fundraising. They didn't have people, you know, sending people to her, you know, her website. I mean, it's just nonstop.
Right. And at one point, what you write is, you know, at what point is it a campaign contribution?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And that's the question. And again, people say, oh, no, the FCC doesn't care and they can do whatever they want. But actually, in my research, I found in 2008, the FCC ruled on this startup website company wanted to do broadcast from inside campaigns, wanted to fundraise for candidates and things like that. And the FCC said, no way, because your product would be indistinguishable from the candidates. And
sounds like Fox News.
Like Fox News and Scott Brown.
Yeah.
So I think the FCC sort of plays nice with companies that claim their news, but when a startup comes along and says, we want to be absolutely in bed with these Democratic campaigns, they say, oh, you can't possibly do that. Well, excuse me, that is exactly what Fox News is doing these days.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's dive into the right wing.
And I think Friday sort of was, like I said, example 1001.
Yep,
absolutely.
Yep. It's like, oh, that's not news. The President of the United States talking to the opposition party. And first of all, that was kind of unprecedented, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, right?
It was great TV. I mean, everyone agrees, even conservative pundits
right.
said it was great TV. So the idea they you know, they cut away because it was too boring or something.
Right. We were just saying, can you have imagined George Bush? He would have just a little puddle.
But this is the funny part because, you know, right-wing bloggers have been mocking Obama for, you know, for the teleprompter stuff. You know, he always needs a teleprompter. He's just this empty slate.
Exactly.
He's just a celebrity. They finally got what they wanted with, mm-hmm. with Obama without a teleprompter. I guess I would say, how did that work out?
Right.
Can I say one thing? George Bush, I think, would have run away crying.
Cost drivers. that which is on the table. Same age as my mother. I gotta go.
I think this is the closest that America has ever gotten to question time with the prime minister, like they have in Britain.
Exactly.
It was awesome.
Yeah. No, I mean, George Bush wouldn't even let in voters that disagreed with him in the town halls or anything. I mean, it was just unbelievable. All right. Steve Hayes, of course, on Britt Baer, starting the spinning.
The president's claim that he's not an ideologue has to be, I think, one of the single most ridiculous things that he said in that time. The results of his first year, I think the overwhelming conclusion of his first year is that he is, in fact, an ideologue. He talked about his health care plan and said that he looked at it as a centrist health care plan. That tells us everything we need to know about where he's coming from. From his perspective, perhaps it was centrist. It wasn't centrist, though, in the minds of the American people and in the minds of the people who were voting on it.
The minds of the American people.
Who voted on the health care plan?
Yeah.
Right.
Did I miss that?
No, because it's so watered down and centrist at this point. It's,
I know,
you know,
right. So it completely ignores the part of the problem is the health care plan is, you know, the entire left has abandoned it because it is too centrist. So,
yeah.
I think they're talking about Scott Brown when they say the American people
right.
voted.
Yeah, right. I mean, one state, so, yeah.
It's amazing the meaning they've imbued on this Massachusetts race, you know. All right, Charles Krauthammer on the Britt Baer.
Actually, I thought it brought out the best in Obama. It helped him a lot. I think it also made the Republicans look good, but I think it was good for the country. Look, for Obama, he engaged in a fairly high-level debate on policy with his antagonist, and he showed his best qualities as a fine analytic mind.
Wow.
He was able to phrase and to frame his opponent's arguments in a clear way, and I thought he held his own quite well.
Yeah, that's how he judges an ass kicking of historic proportions.
Right.
Oh, I thought the Republicans looked good too. What? No, they didn't.
Well, that was the spin the good part is it elevated the House Republicans onto the, you know, the exact same level as Obama, and so
it was a draw. Sure, it was a draw.
If you just ignore like the actual content of the debate.
Yeah.
But I guess in just sort of the theatrics or whatever, they're now on the same level as Obama, and therefore it was a win. That was the spin anyway.
Here's the part of the show, Eric, where Bill O'Reilly talks directly to you.
We knew when we signed on for the tour that creepy far-left people would be stalking us, and they are, in the form of the Loopy Media Matters outfit. That's a group that tries to damage non-far-left Americans by taking their statements out of context and posting them on the net. After our first show on Long Island last Saturday, Media Matters rejoiced in saying that I had compared the south side of Chicago to Haiti.
I'm going to guess, Eric, it's because he compared Haiti to the south side of Chicago.
Yes.
How much more context do you need?
He hates it when we record and transcribe his words.
Right. Fully in context.
Yes.
You are both loopy and creepy.
Well, that's what it takes.
You're creepy. And leapy.
So what was the context that we missed there, Eric? What did we miss?
Oh, there was none, of course. You know, I mean, he compared the south side of Chicago to, you know, earthquake. Written Haiti.
Wow, that's a weird coincidence, I suppose, that the president's from Chicago, correct?
Right. Oh, yeah. Of course, that was the whole angle.
Uh-huh. And I'm guessing there was also a little an underbelly of, they're all black. I think there was something like that.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't want to ascribe something like that to them.
Exactly.
Carl, the fair and balanced Carl Rove on the fair and balanced Fox News on the Obama GOP.
Let's be honest. That was ridiculous what the president said. Even today, his own chief lieutenant, David Axelrod, said the purpose of the president going to the Republican conference in Baltimore was to put the Republicans to the test, to make them, quote, put up or shut up, that it was an attempt to sort of depict the Republicans' obstructionists for the November election.
Depict them
by
letting them talk.
Yeah, right. that was tougher. That was quite a stretch for the president.
I'm pretty sure he was invited to go.
Yeah.
Now apparently he tricked them, according to Karl Rove.
It was a dirty trick.
He accepted our invitation, that bastard!
All right. Hannity on the terror trial.
In fact, they reconsidered this issue of KSM and the trial in New York. Here's my question, though. Instinctively, they didn't think it was a bad idea. Instinctively, they thought it was okay to give Miranda rights to the Christmas Day bomber. Instinctively, they say there's not a war on terror. Instinctively, the president thinks he can negotiate with Iran without preconditions. I'm worried about their first instincts rather than where they eventually end up because of public pressure.
Yeah, you'd hate to have someone that actually considers the facts on the ground and other people's opinions, unlike George Bush. I mean, I don't know what your take is on that, Eric, but look, Bloomberg was for it originally, too. I think what happened is they got information and cost estimates and security estimates and all of that. To me, I don't think this is a flip-flop. I think it's, listening.
Adapting to changing conditions.
Yeah.
Yeah, that may very well be. It's interesting. I mean, conservatives would certainly think they would basically just accept it as a victory because they claimed it was a bad idea, and I guess now it's not going to happen in New York. But rather than just sort of, embrace victory, they're still complaining and they're still whining about it. I don't get it. But you're right. I think the fact... it was going to be maybe more expensive than people thought, or maybe it was just a political calculation. We don't know. They didn't want to have to keep defending it for years and years.
Yeah.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. But I would. If I was on their side, I would just accept the victory and move on.
Sure.
Well, for me, all things are about me, and now I live here, so it's it's an inconvenience to me, and so now I'm.
You've changed your mind. Yeah.
Yes. Now I'm in the not in my backyard crowd. All right. Hang tight, Eric. One more, a skosh more right-wing world as we continue. 18 minutes after the hour, right-wing world continues on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That's like my favorite show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, what a magical high-tech moment that was. You just asked Jim if you could add him to your Facebook?
Yeah.
That is magic. 23. Can I friend you?
23. Oh, God.
23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Eric Bollert is still in the sidecar for Right Wing World from Media Matters. So one last one, Eric. Newt Gingrich on the Hannity Show, frankly, on the State of the Union.
Well, I thought it was a very weak State of the Union. I thought he was all over the place. He was pandering to every group, a little bit here, a little bit there. Was very disorganized. I thought his style was weak.
Wow.
Show how it's done, Newt.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, it was really quite amazing. I mean, if you, particularly the National Review crew during the State of the Union, just rushing on to produce the most childish insults for Obama. He was a jerk. He was fake. He was thin-skinned.
Right.
It was just really...
Nothing,
I mean,
of substance.
These are the elite... you know, these are supposedly lead conservative commentators, and it was just like Obama derangement syndrome times 10. While he's still speaking to the country, and it's just like insult after insult. It was really, it's a pretty sad state of affairs.
Well, and you know, that's the thing, Eric, is look, there are some things that are just quantitatively true. I think most honest people on both sides of the aisle would admit that this is one of our finest speakers mm-hmm. that we've ever had in the office. Whereas, I mean, they have no credibility because literally George Bush... could, you know, barely get through it. There was speech, and it always was fabulous. Remember, if you tune into Fox News, it was always just a magnificent speech.
Right, right. And they were short, which I guess they appreciated. You know, this whole idea that, you know, Obama talked too long, and it is just crazy. And if you look at the instant polls, viewers gave it almost across the board, gave it extremely high numbers. But it was really just, I mean, the jerk, and he was a fake, and he was arrogant.
And uppity.
Oh,
yeah. Find synonyms for uppity.
Yeah.
That's what now passes for sort of conservative insight, I guess.
Let's, before you go, Eric, do one more victory lap on the GOP smackdown on Friday. The one Republican said off the record behind closed doors, it was a mistake that we allowed the cameras to roll like that. We should not have done that. Can you imagine the gnashing of teeth behind the scenes after this?
Yeah, I mean, the same gnashing that I'm sure went on at Fox News while it was unfolding.
That's
and,
right.
You know, and yeah. Again, I mean, you talk about arrogance and cocky. I mean, I think the Republicans have actually convinced themselves that, you know, Obama doesn't know what he's talking about. He can't connect a sentence. You know, the American people are just cheering the GOP on, and that was going to be their sort of knockout punch, I think, was supposed to be Friday.
Oh, yeah. I love some anonymous Republicans. Debating a law professor is kind of foolish. Mike Pence, among others, found their argument simply demolished by the president. Urza Klein writes, apparently transparency sounds better in press releases than it does in practice.
Yeah, and I think it showed the Republicans, particularly people in Congress, they don't have any articulate leadership. I mean, let alone in the Senate. I mean, you know, Mitch McConnell is going to rally America. I mean, they yeah. don't have anyone who can go even close to toe-to-toe with Obama.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Listen, let me just tell you,
all the way around.
I could have warned them. I've debated Mike Pence on a radio panel on the Fairness Doctrine. And I demolished him, which, you know, no, because, I mean, literally, it's like they're immune to the facts. Like, the president, I actually brought radio ratings on paper, and he kept making his case about
right.
how liberal radio has failed, and that's right. why blah, 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 the fairness is not. And I'm like, really? What state, here, what stations do you need? And I just read out numbers, you know, as to.
Well, that's why they go on Fox News, because no one ever asks them difficult questions.
That's right.
Yeah.
But this is what happens when they sort of wander into the real world, and
right.
and Friday's what happens when they wandered into the real
right.
world.
Right. No, I mean, it's just, you know, they have a talking point. Liberal radio's fail. And then I'm like, okay, let's see. Laura Ingram's in my time slot. I beat her in this market, that market, right. this right. market. How come she's on 300 stations and I'm on 60?
Math has a liberal
right.
bias.
Yeah. Exactly.
As does Arbitron, by the way.
Yeah. Apparently. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America. Thank you, Eric.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. All right, from a recorded right-wing world to a live one, it's Jan in Amherst, my right-wing bunt cake. Good morning, Jan.
I love you guys.
I love you.
Hey, I have to say one thing. I'm going to go off topic for just a second. I love all you guys. You're a great ensemble. But I got to tell you, when you bring these comedians, I'm not trying to slam the Fugle Songs or the Helen Plays with Hell. It just, they get too damn serious and too angry. You guys are
really?
Funny because you're funny, okay? You're
I don't think anyone's ever called Hal Sparks angry.
No, he's okay. hardly
no, no,
angry.
No. When you try to take a comedian and go strictly political,
because
they really don't talk about pop culture like you guys do.
Anyway,
I enjoy you guys. You're funny.
Thank
Give
you, John.
Props, if that's okay. Now, getting on to my topic. Now, I don't, am I the only one that misses the irony at Candy Crowley? God bless her. And she definitely showed that she has a political opinion, and I don't care. But she is specifically a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you juxtapose her with a Glenn Beck and a Bill O'Reilly, who are self-proclaimed commentators.
Oh, wait a minute.
They have
hold
a comment
that thought.
To make.
Oh, hold that thought. We'll get into this when we get back. I am dying to have this argument. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. We'll be right back.
Stephanie Miller.
These nonsensical ramblings have piqued my interest. Please continue.
All right, then. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. All right, Jan in Amherst was talking about journalism. Candy Crowley, who we had on this morning, is the new anchor of State of the Union on Sunday mornings on CNN. All right, Jan, go ahead.
Well, listen, Candy Crowley got into...
By the way, are you calling from a submarine or...
Yeah, it sounds like you got some sonar.
I don't know. Hey, it's the same company that runs with Slime Porner.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
It's a phone that I have. Listen, Candy Crowley got into political reporting and reporting on politics because she likes it, which I'm going to assume that she likes it because she has an opinion. It's like a guy who goes into sports reporting because he likes sports.
Or maybe she just likes reporting on politics.
Yeah, but
maybe she just likes the politics in general.
Reporting on it, she doesn't really have an opinion as to which way it goes.
Well, it's interesting because many people in the left-wing blogosphere think she's a right-wing tool. So
yeah.
I guess that's
believe me, we hear from them whenever we have Candy Crowley on.
Yes.
Well, let me just say one thing. I will never, ever mistake your show for a conservative one,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Ooh,
so that being
that's clever.
Said, she's a guest, and I've never seen her on Rush or anything. Now, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, these are commentators, meaning they have an opinion on something. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you juxtapose something like a Fox News with an MSNBC, where you have Chris Matthews, you have Keith Olbermann, you have Rachel Maddow, and you have Ed Schultz?
Uh-huh.
These guys were part of either Arab or liberals. No, that's fine. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. So when they come out and Fox shows that they have the most trust, because there's no ambiguity about it, we know where they sit.
Okay, the point is, yes, MSNBC has decided to counter Fox News. So, yes, absolutely, they have a point of view like Fox does.
They
but
don't counter them because they only garner a third to a fourth of the audience. So they're really not a counter.
They're also not on nearly as many cable systems as Fox News is.
Fox is on basic cable all over the country. MSNBC is usually in the higher tier.
Could that possibly be a result of the demand for the product?
No.
At all? No.
It's,
at all? I mean,
no,
it's
as I pointed out, I beat the conservative show in my time slot. Well, why is that show on 25 times more stations than I'm on?
Which one are you talking about? I'm just saying, no, you can actually say it.
Smora Slingrum.
If you're that convicted about it, you really should say it.
Yeah. No, I have. I have said it before.
I listen to your show.
For the love of God, would you please identify that blue whale and then...
You sank my battleship.
All right.
Listen, we're in a band. I'm listening.
What's that, Flipper? John's a right-wing tool? All right. Is that seriously your phone?
Yes, it is my phone. I'm telling you. I don't know. It's
craptastic.
I usually call you on my cell, so.
Okay.
It's just not working for me today, I guess.
Anyway.
I think I hear depth charges.
Yes. Laura Ingraham's show, I beat in many markets, is what I'm saying. Depending on the signal and what market or whatever. What I'm saying is there is a huge imbalance that does not have to do necessarily with demand. And it's the same thing with Ed Schultz and Randy Rhodes and Tom Hartman beat the conservative show in their time slot in many markets.
And yet they're on fewer stations?
Yes. We're on grossly fewer stations.
In your defense, I don't really listen to many conservative radio shows except for Rush. And I do listen to you almost religiously.
I know.
Because you are. Hey, listen, I love you guys. Jim hates me, but it's kind of tough to hate me. You know, because you guys
hate you.
We don't hate you. We think of you as a favorite cat toy.
Listen, you can beat me around all you want, guys.
Anyway, but our point is that what your point of your call is Candy Crowley's part of this quote-unquote liberal media, right, that CNN is liberal, and we would just disagree. We're telling you the left-wing blogosphere goes nuts when I have her on and say she's a right-wing tool. And
CNN has made it's a deliberate strategy to go right down the middle. And that's what they're doing, except for Paul Begala.
You and I agree, John. Yes, of course, Fox leans right, MSNBC leans left, but, you know, I would say...
I don't mind that, though. See, that's the thing. I just don't mind it. See, I don't know why you guys have such a problem with someone having a differing point, and maybe they might bring it out in their thing.
Because we feel they're doing full-on electioneering for the likes of Scott Brown, and I think that is a problem. They are an arm of the Republican Party. You have to admit, John, because I know you're an honest conservative, you have probably seen MSNBC. They take on the president. They criticize Democrats. They criticize Obama. Fox does not ever criticize for them.
See, that's the thing, because he's not way out there enough. You know, like with Afghanistan and everything. But in the whole health care debate with Ed Schultz, I mean, it's...
Well, he is a very centrist president. That's our point, is he is not the far-left socialist that Fox News tried to portray.
Well, listen, I will disagree, and we'll just see what happens.
All right.
You know, a good speech is one thing, but how you act and what you do and your response to what you talk about and how you actually do things are different.
You have to admit that was a good old fashioned ass kicking on Friday, wasn't it?
Listen, we're in different universes because I thought he looked a little bit petulant, a little bit testy.
Uppity. Oh, he did.
Uppity.
Yeah. And I see Boehner and Cantor looked presidential.
Uppity. Now we can't say uppity anymore. Gee whiz, you know what?
Well, you know why he looked that way? Because he let a room full of black guys make all the decisions in this administration.
Now there you go again. Conversation. I was actually really enjoying this.
Oops, something happened to my phone. Oh, something happened to your crappy phone. Sorry. There goes your crappy phone.
He was calling from Das Boot.
Oops, Flipper hit it with his fin. Sorry.
Fluten!
Flipper must have hit the off button with his fin.
Papitos 1 bis 4, los!
I've heard crappy phones before, but what the hell was that?
Is that a ringtone?
It's like he was on a whale sighting trip or something.
No, it sounded like sonar.
Yeah.
They're sounding. See how deep the
ocean floor is. I hope he didn't pay cash money for that.
By the way, in case you've just tuned in, we make that joke because John once said that all of the housing trouble was caused by
a bunch of black guys. There's a room full of black guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, a majority of the people voted for Obama in the last election. I guess the majority of Americans are way out there, according to John. So
Bolshevik, as the president says. Ken in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Wow, I almost choked on my spit there. That was so funny. I just wanted to know, this is kind of a superficial observation of the little ass-whooping on Friday, but did you happen to notice in the very beginning all the silverware clanking and crashing against plates?
Yes.
It sounded like there was a busboy running around just throwing stuff in a bin, or either that or they were eating like a Ponderosa buffet or something.
Or Dick Morris kept
with all the fixings.
Dick Morris kept falling after a run-on talking point.
I guess manners aren't a prerequisite for being a Republican.
Yeah, I'm sure that was part of the spaz out. Yeah. Dogs and cats living together. Oh my God, we're getting our ass kicked. Yeah, they were trying to make it like Bad Dinner Theater. You know how that is. Yeah. They're trying to do the jokes and they're.
I said I wanted the thing with the. But this is wrong. What is this?
They're probably making more noise just to try to cover the. Oh,
what happened to the bread?
Let's go to Mike in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Mike.
Oh, you guys have the patience of a saint. You know, someone should have brought up to John if he would have seen Hannity's America, where Hannity actually said this weekend, actually, the federal office of Mary Landrieu is the office of the people. So doesn't he have a right to inform Mary Landrieu her phone lines aren't working?
So don't we all have a right to break into federal buildings?
By the way, O'Keefe is supposed to be appearing on Hannity tonight.
That's why I was calling. How after James O'Keefe tweeted about his wiretap in case the judge warned him about his gag order, well, in The Atlantic, he says, quote, unquote, that no one is going to stifle my First Amendment rights, so he's going to be on Hannity's show tonight.
All right,
and I'm like, you go with that. You prove him how right you are. He looks like a crackhead version of McVeigh also.
Yes, he does.
Actually, he reminds me of Lee Harvey Oswald. He's got that same pointy chin and slender neck.
Oh, I bet you that's going to be a hardball interview tonight, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right, honey. Yeah, I got to... Oh, Julie in Seattle... She took, because he tweets, you know. I think your attorneys would prefer that you don't tweet when you've been charged with a felony. Uh-huh.
Probably not.
Because what was his first tweet? Wasn't it, I'm a journalist, the truth shall set me free?
Yeah, and then Veritas.
Veritas.
Yes.
And I think our friend Julie tweeted him back. If that's what your lawyer said, maybe you want to go with the public defender.
Yeah.
In stupidity, Veritas.
Yeah. Julie in Las Vegas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jules.
Aloha. How you guys doing?
Hello. We're good. Go ahead.
Well, I'm a little off topic this morning, but I just had to share the fun I had last night. We went to the last Bette Midler show in Las Vegas.
Wow.
It was spectacular. The divine. Oh, my. But anyway, the greatest thing was she was just making the best jokes about Palin. And
oh, did she?
Limbaugh. And I didn't even know the blowhard was down the street, so it makes it all the
That's
funnier.
Right. He was there for to judge the Miss America pageant.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Just, you know, I just heard that on your show this morning. It just mm-hmm. cracked me up.
What was one of her Bette Midler jokes that you can tell on a little family radio show?
You know, I can't, you know, I'm so bad at jokes, so don't even go there with me. But what I was going to say is, you know, I think she's probably headed back to New York, I'm guessing.
Cool.
So get her on the show sometime. She's in our club.
Cool.
She's obviously in our club. And she would probably come on. Oh, my God, she's got a great charity going in New York.
Terrific. And, all right, yeah, I'll get on it. I'll get on it. Rebecca, get on that booking. All right, speaking of the...
Oh, by the way, we booked Joanne Worley.
What? You're kidding.
You did not.
Wow.
Oh, I love you.
How about
so...
Artie Johnson?
Let me see when she's coming on.
How can you not be happy?
No, Rebecca did an awesome job of booking her.
Wow.
She's actually coming on later on this month in about 3 weeks.
Cool.
Yeah.
I just, you know what? I'm going to wait till then. Well, I'm going to take vacation till then.
You know why? She's actually the president of Actors and Others for Animals.
I've done that.
Yes.
I'm in that.
She is the president of that organization, and she's going to come on to discuss National Spay and Neuter Day.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll see if there's any Republicans we can get spayed or neutered. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, back with more of the GOP smackdown by the president on Friday as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Facts with Slide Whistle. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Frankly, how some of you went after this bill, you'd think that this thing was some Bolshevik plot.
50 minutes after the hour. Oh, president's on TV. Republicans are reflexively cowering under their desks. Let's see what he's saying.
We simply cannot continue to spend as if deficits don't have consequences, as if waste doesn't matter, as if the hard-earned tax dollars of the American people can be treated like monopoly money, as if we can ignore this challenge for another generation. We can't. In order to meet this challenge, I welcome any idea from Democrats and Republicans. What I will not welcome, what I reject, is the same old grandstanding when the cameras are on and the same irresponsible budget policies when
Good.
The cameras are off.
Yes.
It's time to hold Washington to the same standards families and businesses hold themselves. It's time to save what we can, spend what we must, and live within our means once again. Thanks very much.
Huh.
Wow. He's okay. A whole new president, I think. We did rebuild him. We made him better, stronger, faster.
It's about time.
What, Jim, you were reading some of Seth Meyers from...
Yeah, from SNL Saturday night. On Friday, President Obama appeared before House Republicans in an historic televised Q&A and performed so well, afterwards GOP aides said that allowing cameras to roll like that was a mistake. Come on, Republicans, are you in such a Scott Brown high you thought you could take down Barack Obama by debating him? You realize debates are why he's president, right? Seriously, all you do is complain about how Obama is all talk, and then you invite him to a forum that is literally all talk. That's like saying, let's see how tough Aquaman is once we get him in the water. I'm not saying you're outclassed, but the whole thing was like the scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark when the guy charged at Indiana Jones with a sword and he just shot him.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, man. And then Scott Brown, by the way, speaking of which, they really did. They overreached. They're like, they were giddy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Scott Brown says he opposes federal funding for abortion, but thinks women should have the right to choose. He tells ABC's This Week that he disagrees with his party's position that the Supreme Court decision legalizing abortion should be overturned. The sound of 1,000 teabaggers choking on their teabags.
I think they're going to try to lynch him. The teabaggers are charging his office.
He says the abortion question is one that's best handled by a woman, her family, and her doctor. Oh, he's turned on them
and
already.
And he voted for the Massachusetts Bolshevik health care bill.
No!
Yeah.
All right.
That's a new drama sting.
Yeah.
That's neat.
I like it.
It's great.
I love how that cow who was who turned down the tea baggers was throwing out all their little talking points. And they were barking like seals. Yeah, that'll show them. And Obama just eviscerated every single so-called argument.
Yep.
It's like Annie Oakley. Pull.
Did Michelle Bachmann ask a question? I didn't see it.
That would have been so awesome. That would have been gold.
I don't think she did. Damn it.
Dougie, I think she perhaps thought better of it.
Yeah.
Perhaps in a battle of the wits, I'm out of ammunition already. Doug in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, oh, thank you. Listen, I think I want to go straight down the middle with this on 2 points. Number one is I'm so tired of the media being accused of, like MSNBC and even CNN, being accused of being liberal. But how liberal can you be when you appropriately and honestly and fairly speak out and bring up the things that Obama does right or that he does correct or that for that matter, any Democrat does right. But then when the Democrats do wrong, these same liberal stations or media are also the ones that pick up and say, well, they go against the Democrats and go against Obama, too. Fox News never, ever gives credit to Obama or anybody that happens to do right within the liberal media, but they, the ass whooping that the Republicans took on Friday, they just need to, count their blessings and call it a day and say, this is the second olive branch that he's extended out to them to come and work, and I'm so glad they televised this.
Yep.
Because now the people who are at home are those people that watch Fox News, I think they said that they're elderly and don't have a grade of education. These folks clearly get the very plain words that were spoken by Obama on Friday on TV so that we can see it ourselves.
Absolutely.
So the Republicans are saying, we shouldn't have let it be televised. Why?
Yep, exactly. I mean, show them for exactly what they are. The obstructionist, petty little
and
partisans.
And Charles Krauthammer saw the writing on the wall and had to finally admit,
the president did pretty well. We screwed up.
That was a draw. Yeah, he actually said it made Republicans look good,
GOP
too.
Yeah, the GOP did, too.
Yeah.
Well, they look good, too.
Yeah, like when the bull gores the matador. It's a draw.
Because
the bull's going to get it anyway. So.
Exactly.
I'm so glad that Obama did this on Friday because it's just really energized us, three of us, and it's energized the Democratic Party.
Yeah. And because that's the guy we voted
for. In 1 weekend, things have changed so much.
I love the visual, Jim, don't you? The Republicans literally licking their wounds.
Yes.
I think they're in the coat press just like licking each other's wounds.
Oh.
There's a lot of, hydrogen peroxide going around.
Gross. I didn't need that image.
And John Boehner is licking Michelle Bachmann's neck.
I love when my favorite, the way he took it to them, when he defended the stimulus, he said, which most economists agree has worked, saying there's not a single person in here who would not be going home to more laid off teachers, firefighters and police officers. He also, took them to task for taking credit for the benefits while bashing it. He said the last portion of it was infrastructure, which, as I've said, a lot of you have gone to appear at ribbon cuttings for the same projects you voted against. And in some cases, sign their own name on the check.
You weren't supposed to mention that. Shh, quiet.
All right. The president from the Ask Me.
Having differences of opinion, having a real debate about matters of domestic policy and national security, that's not something that's only good for our country. It's absolutely essential. It's only through the process of disagreement and debate that bad ideas get tossed out, and good ideas get refined and made better. And that kind of vigorous back and forth, that imperfect but well-founded process, messy as it often is at the heart of our democracy. It's what makes us the greatest nation in the world.
By the way, how's the meatloaf? You going to finish that?
Try the veal. Dave in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, hi. A couple callers ago, he kind of referenced that there wasn't a call or a need for, in other words, he said if there wasn't a call or a need for the the conservative stations like, the Michael Medveds and the Limbaughs and the Gallaghers, that they wouldn't be successful. And I think that's exactly right as far as the psychology of that. I'm out here in Illinois. I'm in the burbs. I'm the lone Democrat. It's like I'm around with a big D on my chest. I have to sew a big D on my vest when I go out in public. People want to listen to what they want to believe.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think that's right. That's true. I think that's why, you know, I watch MSNBC and other people watch Fox, because you want to feel like you're right. You want to be, you know, validated in your opinion.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, I'm just saying Fox just won't admit what they are. All right.
And they keep using that fair and balanced line when they obviously are not. That's what galls me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
But I don't believe that the American people want us to focus on our job security. They want us to focus on their job security.
Thank you. And by the way, not a single one of all y'all is for the jobs bill. So there. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the smackdown of the GOP on Friday and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't forget tomorrow on the big show, Richard Wolff, the journalist extraordinaire, and Charlie Pierce, our buddy, our pal. All on the big show tomorrow. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Identity Guard. Making it okay to trust again. Go to identityguard.com. Thank you. Can I have some fine American music, please? Ron in Ventura has brought a prop today. That he has attached to his letter to me. Dear Steph, we thought this was a joke or a mistake when it arrived yesterday. A letter from Anthem Blue Cross, medical insurance provider, that said, and I quote, "While we strive to keep costs as low as possible, it is necessary to adjust our rates to cover the escalating cost of health care. Huh. As of March 1st, 2010, the monthly rate on your PPO share 5,000 will change from $656 to $903.
Oh, my God.
So apparently, despite their striving, Jim, they don't want to do it. This is going to hurt them more than it's going to hurt you.
Right.
But could you please bend over just a skosh farther?
This is why we need Medicare for all.
Ron writes, actually, our policy has more than doubled in the last 3 years, and we're not even sick. Uh-huh. I am a small business owner in California. If Congress wants to kill off all the remaining small businesses in California and the rest of the country, just let this behavior continue for another year or two. You need to tell the Republicans and Blue Dog Dems that we won't spend another year with Congress discussing the problem rather than really doing anything about it. While they're discussing and compromising to the ends of the earth, we're getting raped by the insurance industry. Ron and Ventura, fine American.
Unbelievable. Oh. Good thing we don't have that Bolshevik health care.
Yeah, thank God. Okay. Oh, Julie sent along this is a breaking news story from Capitol Hill. Something stinks, literally, apparently, in the Capitol. On the Senate side, mostly on the second floor toward the east front, Senate Democrats had to move their weekly caucus lunch from the Mansfield room to a room in the new Congressional Visitor Center because the stench is so bad. Rumors, all sorts of rumors had been flying. Julie says, Mama, last Friday, Obama may not have reached those GOP Congress critters with his pleas to stop talking trash about their political opponents. But since Joe Lieberman, douche, isn't really in either party, I have no qualms about suggesting the unidentified fishy stench overwhelming the Senate side of the Capitol building may be related to his personal freshness issues.
Joe Lieberman, douche.
I'm gonna go with that explanation.
Sure.
It smells fishy, apparently.
I just hope it's not a dead intern.
I'm sure that'll be on Morning Joe.
Yeah.
Hey, come on now. Merritt in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Mom, I love you, your show, and your booty.
Thank you.
Hey, I wrote into Barack and said, how about every Friday being Republican Day?
How about every Friday is kick a Republican's ass day?
Just an hour video on it. Just have a little meeting every Friday. That'd be nice.
Yeah, it's like Dress Down Fridays. It'll dress down a Republican in the president's honor, won't you? The president at the ass kicking on Friday.
We had lost 650,000 jobs in December. I'm assuming you're not faulting my policies for that. We had lost, it turns out, 700,000 jobs in January, the month I was sworn in. I'm assuming it wasn't my administration policies that accounted for that. We lost another 650,000 jobs the subsequent month before any of my policies had gone into effect. So I'm assuming that wasn't as a consequence of our policies. That doesn't reflect the failure of the Recovery Act.
Yeah.
He's being defensive.
Blaming the previous administration.
The previous administration just because they were in power when all that happened.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the amazing thing, as someone pointed out, whether you look at a graph on Rachel Maddow shows or whatever, it is going in the right direction.
Yeah, yes.
That's the whole thing. It's like these were clearly, quantitatively, George Bush's policies. And if you look at the graph, and you look at and he says the numbers of jobs
have
been lost.
It's like an upside-down triangle. It's
yes.
Like it goes down and then
clearly,
goes up again.
Clearly, his policies are having the opposite effect of George Bush's, and we are going in the right direction. But it's just...
If it's an upside-down triangle, clearly it's Masonic.
Yes. He's a
and literally the Republicans are like, let's go back and do whatever caused this part of the graph. Like, what? No!
Huh? No!
David in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, Mooks. Hey, you know, John McCain is also a douche because remember at the State of the Union, he leaned over and Lindsey Graham was sitting next to him and he said, oh, blame it on Bush.
Mm-hmm. Twice. He did.
Which
I saw that.
True. And, okay, so the Republicans have boxed themselves in, literally, and the effect of their teabagging talking points have seriously dwindled. And so they keep saying jobs, 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 like Thursday, Friday, and then on the Sunday shows, David Gregory and John King would not pin the Republicans down on that one point. It's like, oh yeah, where are the jobs going to come from? Millions of jobs were lost prior to Barack Obama taking office, and they don't seem to remind the low information viewer that watches David Gregory and John King.
Why didn't you criticize the Bush administration policies that actually caused the actual job losses?
And John King's just sitting there squirming in his seat, getting off on the fact that he's just throwing out that, that rotten meat, and finding somebody to eat it, when it's losing power. And I'm so glad that we've got the mojo back.
Yep, we got the mojo back. We
certainly
got power. Okay, let's, Carl in New Orleans. Not many people quoting Snap this morning.
No.
Carl in New Orleans, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Who that? We'd like to say hello from New Orleans because we're all excited about the big Super Bowl.
You got the big game coming up. Go Saints!
Yes, go Saints. But anyway, what I'm really calling you about is the Stephanie Maddow Show, talking about the reality.
Rachel
of
Maddow
death.
Show?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's
yes.
Right, Rachel Maddow.
Wow, he just melded us together.
Y'all don't look alike.
all right.
But what was interesting about the show was the fact that she talked about how the debt got pinned on the donkey. And so
yes.
She did a skit called Pin the Debt on the Donkey, and she asked three questions. And the three questions related to who created the largest debt in most recent presidents.
Yep.
And they all got the answers wrong on purpose, I'm sure. And then they actually put down Reagan, Bush Jr. as the biggest creators of all the debt in the last 40 years, which most Republicans think is the cause of Democrats.
Yep, exactly. I mean, that really is the point, is they just, this whole storyline, it's not supported by any fact historically.
That's right.
Let's go to Tim in Madison on the SmackDown. Hi, Tim. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Was it just me, or did it look like that whole room of Republicans looked like they either needed preparation H or were just really constipated?
Yeah.
They looked a little queasy.
They did look a little queasy to me.
Yeah.
And, I just loved how the president was just, it's nice to see him back again. It's nice to see that the maybe bad Brock has gone away for a while. Decisive but can't get anything done. Now I'm going to stand in front of the Republicans and scream at them and show them where they're wrong is back.
Mm-hmm.
Because before this, I think a lot of us who were in the middle were getting very uneased. We were starting to change starting to think that maybe the Republicans were writing a lot of things.
Yep.
And I think you look at this, you look at the meetings that have been happening, you look at what's been going on, And he's actually bringing back the base. He's not only bringing back the base, he's bringing back independence again, which is needed because, you know, I hate to say it, 2012 is kind of quick.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one thing to say after Friday, and that is ring the bell. School's in, sucker. All right.
Really?
Well, you know, I'm a MC Hammer aficionado.
Someone may have said that in 1991, uh-huh. but not now. Uh-huh.
Differences between the two major parties on most issues is not as big as it's represented. But we've gotten caught up in the political game in a way that's just not healthy. It's dividing our country in ways that are preventing us from meeting the challenges of the 21st century. I'm hopeful that the conversation we have today can help reverse that.
Sam in Lawrence, Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Sam.
Welcome. My first time ever. I thank God I discovered this station.
Oh, me too.
You know, I just got a letter from Al Franken and his Midwest Values PAC. They found a candidate to run against Michelle Bachmann. And this is stunning.
Oh, I met one of them. We have to get her on. She's fabulous.
And I'm sending them $10. Well, I'm disabled on a limited income, but I'm doing that.
Wait, what's her name?
Sam.
No. What's her name that's running against?
It's in the letter I got. I think it's called something like Taryn something.
No, I've got her card, Chris. I meant to tell you. We have to book her. She's going to take on Michelle Bachmann. She's fabulous. I met her.
Fax me the card that you got.
I met her at the Blue State Ball.
And I don't understand. Minnesotans are so normal. How does she win? How does it happen?
Yeah, I know. She's embarrassing.
Al Franken and Michelle you know, Al Franken by 300 votes, and
yeah.
then she, I mean, nobody can vote for Franken and Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah, perhaps some people in Minnesota can call and tell us, what's up, Minnesota?
Yeah, what is that? And also,
are you schizophrenic? What's up?
What is that?
And also, Stephanie, we keep hearing about Democratic senatorial seats in trouble. Well, aren't there Republican seats in trouble? New Hampshire, Ohio, Missouri, crazy
yep.
Jim Bunny
yep.
seat in Kentucky.
Yeah, exactly.
What about the
exactly.
House of Representatives?
Exactly, Sam. They're trying to freak us out. You know, it's like, oh, it's Massachusetts. It's a, you know, tragedy of historic proportions. No! That is very ominous, the new drama sting.
Do you like it?
Yes, but that's the thing. As somebody once again pointed out the numbers, there are more Republicans that are resigning or not running or whatever than Democrats. But once again, the quote-unquote liberal media, that's the storyline. Ooh, Democratic Party in disarray.
Oh, because one guy won! It's
yeah, so here comes the Stay Puft Marshmallow Republican man. Ah. Anyway, yes, you're right. I'll find her card. I have it somewhere.
Thank you for telling me that you had it.
Yeah, she's running against Michelle Bachmann. She's awesome.
You only got the card a couple of weeks ago.
It's at the bottom of my... You know how it is. Mama had I almost pulled a pole down on a bunch of people in a pole dancing incident. You think I'm going to remember a card
because
in my purse?
It wasn't meant to be danced on.
Yeah.
Well,
it was meant to hold up lights.
You tell someone that's had seven glasses of Chardonnay. 17
oh
minutes...
my God.
After the hour.
Sorry, I said it was theater on fire. Ha ha!
All right, we'll be back after Mama fishes through her purse on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 22 minutes after the hour. Okay, I've got it. Terrell Clark. That's it. She's running against Michelle Bachmann. We will have her on the show. I found it. I found the little card all the...
It's probably dog-eared, isn't it? And
yes,
torn.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little gum sticking to it, a little Chardonnay. But I got it!
All kind of. It's got things sticking to it that every woman has in her purse. Like gum wrappers.
All right. Margaret.
Moisturizer.
Moisturizer.
So we were saying Minnesota elected Al Franken and Michelle Bachmann. What happened, Minneapolis? Margaret, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. Hello. I'm not sure what happened with that one with Al Franken, but I know that my poor parents live out in Michelle Bachmann's district.
Oh,
dear. Yeah, it's sad. They're afraid to put up signs, actually, for anybody that's not a Republican.
That's you have what, you have pockets of deep red, I'm told.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that is definitely one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That would explain that. Let's go to Lynette in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Lynette.
Yeah. Hi, Stephanie. I too lived near the district of the famous Michelle Bachmann, and I voted for Terrell Clark, and it was a great relief. But I guess she's running for Michelle Bachmann's seat. But she is great, and I just wanted to give you a little idea of that area. These are not the brightest bulbs on the tree that live in this area, obviously. And I had to sell my house when I lived there. I'm back in the cities now because I could not sleep because the roar of the monster trucks kept me awake day and night. I'm telling you, these people are the dumbest people I've ever been. And I wanted to comment on the phone call that other guy said about, well, there's just not a market for progressive radio. Let me tell you something, and I tell this to people all the time. When they give me that spiel, I said, how come I can drive 1 hour away from Minneapolis and I no longer can get KTNF, which is the progressive station I listen to that I get your show on?
That's right.
It's gone in an hour. So, I mean, that's the thing. All you can get in Michelle Bachmann's area is Rush Limbaugh, because he's on FM, and that's all these people can get, and that's what they think is really happening in the world. Mm-hmm. So Michelle Bachmann seemed like a brain surgeon to these people.
She's the smartest woman I've heard. Okay, why did I sort of sense it? I sniffed a monster truck crowd among her constituency.
But you also imitated them by using a southern accent.
Completely inadvertent.
Yeah, you should have used a Minnesota accent.
Oh, golly. Nathan in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. I sense malfeasance in her district.
Yes.
Down near Brainerd. Hello,
yeah,
Nathan.
Yes, the districts in question that Michelle Bachmann won is a classic example of a gerrymandering district.
Ah, yes. Okay.
It is really, really conservative. I'm pretty sure they're going to try to annex the Sioux Dayton land soon.
They should change it to the Jerry Springering section because it's that kind of crowd. Okay, let's. Representative Jeb Hensarling, Republican of Texas, at the SmackDown.
Will that new budget, like your old budget, triple the national debt and continue to take us down the path of increasing the cost of government to almost 25% of our economy?
It's very hard to have the kind of bipartisan work that we're going to do, because the whole question was structured as a talking point for running a campaign.
Yeah, and as was pointed out by a previous caller, the most debt was run up by Republican presidents, like Bush and Reagan.
Steph, Shafe on the live blog wants to play What's in Mama's Purse.
Oh, why?
Let's make a deal.
By all means. Let's go to, you don't want to go in there.
Oh, God.
Let's go to Art, my right-wing love muffin in Chicago. Hello, Art.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, listen, let me explain myself to you.
Okay.
I had two small businesses, and in a food business, and then I started working for a main chain store company here in Chicago.
For a what?
This is my motto.
A chain store.
Okay.
A food store.
Oh.
Bad jobs need many excuses. Excellent job need no explanation. All you're doing is making excuses for Mr. Obama. He can't even run a lemonade stand, let alone run a business. Come on.
He ran the Harvard Law Review.
I'm telling you why there are no jobs created by Mr. Obama. 1 year, and he was supposed to change everything. He hasn't changed a thing.
Well, you worked at a chain store. Pardon me?
A chain store.
Oh, I thought you said a chain store.
Food store.
Oh.
No.
Chain food store.
Uh-huh. And do you think he's getting any help at all on the Republican side on trying to change the way Washington works, or no?
I'm a Republican. I try to help him. I'm trying to get people. But you know what? He wants to hurt the.
What did you do to
help
him?
He wants to touch the hell out of these small business people.
What have you done? What have you done to help him?
Huh? Trying to hire some people.
Bartles,
tell
James
people.
To. Art, what have you done to help him? You said you've tried to help him.
I said I'm trying to help bring people into work. Okay?
And how is he keeping you from doing that?
This guy's going to force me on tax me to write out of business. And that's all he keeps talking about.
Okay, 95% of the people in this country,
rich,
including small business, have gotten tax cuts under President Obama.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
When he came into office, he said he wanted that tax, $250,000, he's going to tax him 40%. Don't tell me what he said and didn't say.
Ah!
slap by Bartles and Bartles and James.
Yeah.
Hey, we were this close to a bye cracky, I think. That's what I was thinking.
My stars and garters.
Bye cracky. Yummy Jehoshaphat.
I did think he said he worked at a change store. That was a store where you get change for a dollar
like
or something.
Like a currency exchange store or something like
yes.
that? Yeah, those are all over Chicago.
Bye, cracky young lady.
Okay. That fella's not letting me hire people.
29 minutes.
I'll be a monkey's uncle.
29 minutes after the hour. Oh, boy. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
In my day,
Stephanie Miller
couldn't say booby, tushy, burp, fanny burp, water closet, underpants, dingle dangle, LBJ, titty caca, hot dog, or front lump.
The show has been renamed the Stephanie Miller Show. How about it?
You not let me hire anybody because they said front lumps.
How about that? 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Speaking of being old, Chris and Yankton writes, Steph, I can't wait to hear the results of the fishing through your purse for the business card of the woman challenging Michelle Bachman. Heavy Minnesota accent. Chris, Jeff, I can't find a card, but I found some Kleenex, a couple of elements.
A couple of elements. Oh, God.
Who wants a Werther's? And scene. Old Minnesota woman digging through her purse. Oh, boy.
Some, and, you know, they haven't made Velement since the 80s. So.
Wow.
So I'm sure that you have some Velements in
you
there.
You can tell how old I'm getting from the age of my listeners calling in.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Martha in Phoenix here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Martha.
Welcome, Stephanie and Mooks. Yes. I just have had such a great weekend from just the State of the Union till Friday. I had to watch MSNBC twice just to see it over again to, I was just so excited. But I was just wondering if you guys saw when President Obama was on the Duke game.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, well, he was commentating during the game and, you know, with that smile and just his humor and even
wow,
his
he kicked some
of basketball.
He kicked some Republican ass and was did play-by-play for a basketball game?
Yeah, he's insane. I'm after your job in either 3 or 7 years that he just overwhelmed, I think, even the sportscasters of just...
Wow. That was a trifecta he had this week then. Here is the ass-kicking of Representative Mike Pence, the right-wing tool. Oh, I told you I could have warned him because I kicked his ass on a radio panel once.
He's an easy ass-kicking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was me and him and, what's his name, Roger Hedgehog.
Cock.
Excuse me?
Roger Hedgehog.
Oh, right. The right-wing radio host.
Yes.
Roger Hedgehog.
Cock.
Balls.
Thank you, Jim.
What's in the Better Solutions book are all the legislative proposals
that were offered I've actually read your bills.
Throughout 2009.
I understand.
And so, rest assured, the summary document you received is backed up by precisely the kind of detailed legislation that Speaker Pelosi and your administration have been busy ignoring for 12 months.
Mike, wait, hold on a second. No. Hold on a second, yes. You know, Mike, I've read your legislation. I take a look at this stuff, and the good ideas we take. But here's the thing, I guess, that all of us have to be mindful of. It can't be all or nothing one way or the other.
it was a thing of beauty, the Mike Pence and his...
Republicans offered a stimulus bill at the same time. Cost half as much as the Democrat proposal in Congress, and using your economic analyst models, it would have created twice the jobs at half the cost.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And also provide free candy and ponies to everyone. That cost nothing.
You didn't vote for our free candy and ponies bill. Dave in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. There's something that drives me crazy, a very basic premise that people don't get. When Republicans are concerned about jobs, they're only concerned when there are too many of them and the cost of labor is going up.
Exactly. Yep.
It's a very simple premise. They're concerned for multinational corporations and big business. Small business people should be concerned about jobs out there because they're called customers.
Yep.
Very simple.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's go to Bill in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Bill.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, that was great. I loved Obama sort of reading the Riot Act to those Republicans, but it kind of reminded me of something that's always irked me. I've been dying to call you about this. When this Joe the Plumber sort of surfaced in the campaign, when Obama was sort of walking along and was sort of accosted by this guy with a question, and he answered the quick answer, and then he came back and talked to him for like 5 minutes, really explaining it to him, and they never show that on the news.
Oh, you're talking about Joe the Plumber.
He explains things so well.
Yeah,
you know,
he does.
To people, I always thought of if he could have seen how good he was at explaining a very complicated thing to this guy that just sort of loomed out of the crowd, but they only showed him looming out of the crowd, this Joe the Plumber. And I always thought, gee, he really has a grasp of everything like this. You know, I'm just so proud of him as our president.
Yep. Exactly. Both the State of the Union and this thing on Friday. Mm-hmm. Right-wing tool Mike Pence again.
We welcome the dialogue with the president. We especially welcome the acknowledgement that this business about the party of no ideas can hopefully be banished once and for all from the political debate.
Maybe if you have an idea.
Except you just proved the point.
Yeah, right. By not having any ideas.
They literally proved the point right, in that whole display on Friday. They proved the president's point.
Stop saying it. If you just stopped saying it, it would disappear.
Yes, it's true, but just stop it. Jonathan in Chicago. Hey, John.
Hey, Steph, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I just noticed this weekend, and I don't know if anyone else picked up on it, but I think you got your American president moment.
Yes, I did.
And Salon actually picked up on this, and I'm quoting from them, but they say Michael Douglas's character said at one point that Bob Rumson is the least bit interested in solving your problems. He's interested in two things, making you afraid of it and telling you who's to blame for it.
Yes!
Obama said exactly the same thing.
Oh, this is foreplay for me that you're quoting American president to me.
No.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like you were waiting for him to say, my name is Barack Obama and I am president.
Right? He actually said, he said that we can't start out by figuring out, A, who's to blame, and B, who we can make the American people afraid of the other side.
Yep. Yep.
Amazing.
Oh, God, Jonathan, that is...
People want leadership, Mr. President. In the absence of genuine leadership, they'll listen to anyone who steps up to the microphone. They want leadership. They're so thirsty for it, they'll crawl through the desert toward a mirage, and when they discover there's no water, they'll drink the sand.
People don't drink the sand because they're thirsty. They drink the sand because they don't know the difference.
Oh, that guy spoke American president. It's the language of love for me.
You're getting the studio all sticky.
Let's go to Russell in Georgia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Steph, thank you so much for giving so much time to that bitch slap that was Friday to those Republicans.
Yeah, it was like a catharsis for all of us, wasn't it? An epiphany.
It was wonderful.
A lot of, yes.
Yeah, I mean, the State of the Union, it felt like something out of a movie. I had to go back and watch Dave. I didn't watch The American President, although I should tell you I did. I've seen that you love it so much, but it just makes me feel so much better. I mean, I live in a red state, mm-hmm. and it's nice to see some semblance of sanity out there in the world.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, here's another sign of my demographic. Paul writes, "You are a good-looking person. I saw you on Larry King. I like you. I'm 76. How about that? Who wants a Werther's? All right.
Or Bellamy's.
Mama's listeners are aging with her. Therese in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi,
Hi. I was calling to tell you a story. I am in the 5th Congressional District, not Michelle Bachman's, but I have the same, I have the right area code on my phone, but not, and that's where I lied one day and called him last summer and was talking to the staff, were very nice, and what I thought Michelle should be doing about health care, and this was when all the town hall meetings were going on. And the staff was very nice. We had a lovely conversation. I expressed my point of view, and he gave me some ideas of what Michelle was thinking. And then he said, well, what's your name? And I clutched because I lied. I'm not in the 6th. I'm in the 5th Congressional District. And I came up with, my name's Steffi Miller.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd love that. Then there was a click. Okay. Let's go to Richard in Tucson. You're on the Steffi Miller Show. Welcome, Richard.
Hey, Steph, on that Friday night ass whoop, and I was surprised, you know, remember the movie Deliverance, I was surprised that the Republicans didn't just ask him, say, Mr. President, you sure have pretty lips. You know, or could you possibly squeal, Mr. President?
All right. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it. Let's go to Representative Paul Ryan, a Democrat of Wisconsin. Or no, wait, he's a Republican. Pardon me.
He is a Republican. I'm sorry.
You were drunk when you did the soundbite list.
I was. Mm-hmm.
I'm very pleased the president said that he had read my plan and called it a very credible plan. We've sent it to him a number of times, but we've never gotten any dialogue from the White House. It's the first time I've talked to the president or any of his senior advisors about how it works. So the fact that we're just now beginning a dialogue and an acknowledgement of the ideas we've been proposing is a good step in the right direction, because all last year, the ideas and the solutions we've been sending to the White House have been largely ignored.
Maybe because they're crap.
Yeah, Ed Tooley, it's because your health care plan is very short and simple.
Oh, for God's sake, just die.
Yeah, so it didn't take him long to get through that.
Yeah.
Being a constitutional law professor and all. All right, Representative Eric Cantor, who's Adam's apple was throbbing sort of like Eric Menendez, is at the most stressful part of the trial.
The discussion that all of you just witnessed is a first. It was the kind of discussion, frankly, that we need to have more of.
I'm sure you'd love that.
Because he had to say that.
And bring more cameras next time.
Can we just not film it or record it in any way, please?
The boner.
When I describe their health care bill as a government takeover of our health care system, I say it because I truly believe that's the essence of their bill.
I say it because I'm drunk. And I don't know what I'm saying.
Allegedly.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the president on the economy, celebrity stack, and much more on the Steffi Miller Show.
It's full of witches and strange creatures of the night.
It's the Steffi Miller Show.
Steffi Miller. Steffi Miller.
50 minutes after the hour. Don't forget Richard Wolff and Charlie Pierce, our guests tomorrow, both. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Tommy in Palm Springs on the President's SmackDown.
Stephanie.
Hey, Tommy.
It really upsets me that, like, Pence keeps getting up there and saying that they were calling them the party of no ideas. No, they were calling them the party of no. They weren't calling them the party of no ideas. Yeah, they didn't have any. And, yeah, their budget, as Rachel Maddow pointed out, was a little bit easier to ignore because there were no numbers in it when they presented it.
Yeah, and that kind of budget.
Yeah, and, you know, and their medical on this SmackDown, whenever I think it was either the last Republican or the next to last Republican to speak. No, it wasn't Jeb. It was the one before him, the guy that looks kind of like Gene Hackman.
Which one is that? I don't even.
He's got kind of reddish, kind of curly hair, kind of receding back a little, and he looks like Gene Hackman. Anyway.
Gee, a white man with a receding hairline, really?
No, it's curly.
Are there any Republicans that look like
that? Looks like he's falling out of a building.
All right, honey, I don't know who that was. All right. Thank God, Chris. Get the Hallelujah Choir ready. Jersey Shore is going to come back after all. Oh, Snooki and
and the situation.
Polly
and Vinny and
yes,
Sammy and Jay Wow.
And I still won't be watching it at all.
It'll be the second season I won't be watching.
Yeah.
They'll be in some new location, apparently. All right. Just felt the need to have to
report that.
Yes.
Thank you.
In related news, we have a new D-list celebrity show where they eat rotten cow eyeballs and vomit.
Yay.
But
must see TV.
No, but these kids are getting now getting paid $10,000 an episode.
All right, celebrity...
Each.
Just for being a bunch of Goombas.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, guess what? Celebrity drunk stack includes someone that was drunk on my disastrous late night show.
Mm-hmm. Esther Roll?
No, but that was the level of guest that I got. No. Who were the two people I said were on my show drunk?
Isabel Sanford.
Yes, Wheezy. And Rip Torn.
Oh, Rip Torn.
Rip Torn has just been charged with breaking into a Connecticut bank,
Larry,
carrying a loaded handgun while intoxicated.
I need you to bail me out.
Wait a minute. He tried to rob a... Did he... What? Tried to...
While drunk, yes.
Oh.
He's had a few drunk driving, you know...
Things.
Situations,
yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he has that famous mugshot. that multi-looking mugshot.
Uh-huh.
All right, and Ronnie Wood back in rehab for the eighth time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, when the Russian person is telling you drink too much, you have problem. Because Russians brush teeth with vodka. It's,
yeah, when the 20-year-old Russian waitress you left your wife for tells you you're drunk, then you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Keith has actually stopped drinking for the past 4 months.
Right, that and when Keith Richards is the one doing an intervention, you know, but probably you got some trouble. Okay, and he brings in Amy Winehouse for backup. Then, you know, maybe. All right, the president talking about the economy and tax
employers,
credits.
Like Terry, would get a tax credit of up to $5,000 for each and every employee that they add in 2010. And you would get a tax break for increases in salaries as well.
Okay. The president offering some, you know, concrete plans on getting jobs back. The boner just blubbering as usual.
American people are continuing to ask the question, where are the jobs?
Hmm.
And that should be our focus of this year.
And it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Just for the heck of it, let's go back and we can actually tell Boner where the jobs went. Where was the part of the president explaining, blah, blah?
Oh, seven.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, you might want to, because there's actual numbers, Jim, as to jobs lost and where they went and when.
We had lost 650,000 jobs in December. I'm assuming you're not faulting my policies for that.
Before he was president.
Yes.
We had lost, it turns out, 700,000 jobs in January, the month I was sworn in. I'm assuming it wasn't my administration policies that accounted for that. We lost another 650,000 jobs the subsequent month before any of my policies had gone into effect. So I'm assuming that wasn't as a consequence of our policies. That doesn't reflect the failure of the Recovery Act.
Yes.
Why isn't he fixing all the problems? Is that a year? Come on!
So there you go, Boner. There, if they're asking where the jobs are, George Bush took them.
Yep.
That's where they went.
Yep.
And now, as the president said, according to economists on both sides of the aisle, we're going in the right direction.
Yes.
The stimulus
jobs
is working.
The last thing to get fixed.
Yes.
It just takes a while.
We've saved, 2 million maybe, saved or created. What did, you can argue on the numbers, 1.5, 2 mm-hmm. million, something like that. So the president's new budget predicts the deficit will crest at a record-breaking $1.6 trillion and then start to recede to $1.3 trillion. Details of the administration's budget headed for Congress included an additional $100 billion to attack painfully high unemployment. We just went to the president live this morning. He was trying to explain we're going to try to save what we can and spend what we need to spend to get out of this. So, Gibbs said it was important for Democrats and Republicans to put aside their differences to pass a bill that addresses jobs, the country's number one concern. I think it would be a powerful signal to send to the American people. Except the Republicans, not a single one of them, are for the jobs bill, just FYI.
Right, yeah.
GTK. Okay, that damn, what's her name, Esmeralda, Senator Ghostly. Yes, Senator Collins.
Susan Collins of
Maine. Did you see she opened her big pie hole? She said that the Obama administration's handling of the suspect in the airline bomb plot on Christmas exposed a vulnerability in the U.S. fight against terrorism. She, was questioned, blah, blah. Oh, because she was talking about that he was questioned for 50 minutes without being given a Miranda warning, and that when he was advised of his rights, he refused to speak further with investigators. That's because he already told them everything. It's like, yes. I'm Al-Qaeda. I trained in Yemen. What else? I mean, it's just, it's... All right. Anyway, she went on to say he was treated as a criminal defendant, not an enemy combatant. The Obama administration appears to have a blind spot when it comes to the war on the terror.
Come on.
Yeah, well, you have a blind spot when it comes to trying to figure out how to get Paul Lynn to appear back in the...
Sammy.
Dr. Bombay. Calling Dr. Bombay. Please come right away.
Why don't you just shut up and call Dr. Bombay? By the by, so I talked to Candy Crowley about this earlier. What do you guys think about... I see that, and maybe it's because I'm all about me, as you guys well know.
Yes.
Now it's all about my inconvenience in New York, the terror trials, but I really thought it was a case of... Look, Bloomberg was for it, then Bloomberg got information. He got cost estimates, he got, you know, the amount of years the trials are going to go on, what the security parameters are, and I think it's a good thing that the Obama administration listened to it.
I do, too. It's not the hill I wanted to die on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Bloomberg said it would be great if the federal government could find a site that didn't cost $1 billion, which using downtown will. It just, he estimated security for the trials could cost up to $250 million a year, which, you know, a figure that didn't even count the impact on security on businesses and real estate values in lower Manhattan. So, you know, I just think that I do really still believe it should be they should be criminal trials and not military tribunals, but I don't think that's that important where, you know, I mean, if it creates a logistical nightmare, particularly for me, is my point, then I'm all
and
for
your
moving
commute.
It. Do you know how hard it is to get a cab now when it's a zillion degrees below zero?
Well, now, whatever happened to you taking the subway? I'm going to take the subway every day, be a real New Yorker.
I tried that for a while. You know, I need to prepare. I need to get into character before the show, so I need a little time to,
All right.
Okay, that's it for us. Don't forget Richard Wolf and Charlie Pierce tomorrow. We'll see you then on The Stephanie Miller Show.